Good morning. If there's anybody here that doesn't know me, my name is Hugh Player. I'm a ruling elder here at Second Presbyterian Church, and I'll be your guide today as we go through the chapter 6 of J.C. Ryle's book, Holiness. We've certainly had some good topics so far, and I look forward to some additional topics later, and I look forward to talking to you today about growth. So let's start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this Sabbath day that you've given us. We pray that you will be with us as we open your word, as we understand what your word has to tell us about growth, growth in grace. So, Father, I pray that you will guide me as I speak this morning. Help the words that I say be true to your words. And Father, I pray that you'll be with those that are here and those that are watching online, that this will help them in their Christian walk. So Father, I lift these things up to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said, you know, we've been going through the book Holiness by J.C. Ryle. And today we're going to talk a little bit about growth in grace. And J.C. Ryle presents a lot of good applications for us. We're going to talk a little bit about the reality of Christian growth, the marks of Christian growth, and the means of Christian growth. And I think today in particular is an excellent time to think about growth in grace as we as those of you who have already participated in the communion of the Lord's Supper, and then the rest of us will go into the second service and celebrate the Lord's Supper, a reminder to us of what and who Christ is and what he did for us. So let's begin. First of all, we have our theme verse of growing in grace. The scripture tells us from 2 Peter that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this will be our theme verse for this particular chapter, you know, commanded to do that and so forth. And if you were here last week, our brother Kirby Key brought us a good summary of the cost of following Christ. And I think that goes in line today with today's lesson, because today's lesson is about growth. And it is our duty to grow in grace. And so just a reminder that it costs us something, and we need to think about this as we grow in our Christian walk. As we tackle the subject of growth, we need to consider and count the cost. Growth requires work and nourishment, and it is our duty. Just as a soldier or an athlete works to increase their strength and endurance for the battle, we need to work to increase our spiritual endurance. A question for you is, would our physical bodies be satisfied being fed just once a week? If you were to ask a newborn baby that question, I think you would get the answer, and it would be an emphatic no. So we need to nourish ourselves as we grow. And Ryle talks about that thing. And he brings to us two questions that we need to reflect on. First of these is a question, personally question, to each and everyone here. Do we grow spiritually? And do we make progress in our religion? Let us explore these two questions this morning. First, spiritual growth is an essential part of true holiness, or becoming more like our Savior, and to prepare us for spiritual warfare to come. J.C. Ryle emphasizes that our work to grow in grace does not change who we are in Christ. This our growth, our work, our duty to grow in grace does not does not change our justification, does not change who we are in Christ, because in Christ we are complete. But it is our duty to grow, to learn, to be more about, to know more about, and to become more like our Savior. As we reflect on this question, we ask the question ourselves, is where do we go? And on what do we place our growth on? Well, I think the Scripture is clear on that. I think the Scripture is clear, as you can see, the solid foundation of His Word is where we go to grow. And if you look at the verses here, but in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, it reads, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to the wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So we have a foundation that we can go to build on our growth in Christ. And it tells us that we grow in grace, and we place that growth on the solid foundation of the rock. And it prepares us for the life to come. You notice the verse doesn't say if or maybe the rain will come. It says when the rain comes. So the rain will come, the testing, the storms will come. So we need to place our growth on that solid rock of the words of Christ. And I've always thought very much about the very end of this particular passage, about the foolish man building his house on the sand, the shifting sand of our time. And it says, and great was its fall. So, we build our house on the world system, and our house will fall, and our house will, and great will be the fall of that house. Now, J.C. Ryle spends a lot of time in this chapter talking about what growth in grace is. And he specifically points out something that I've already mentioned, and that is what growth in grace is not. And it is not, we're not saved by our growth in grace, because we are justified. We are that complete person in Christ at the very beginning, and as we go through our life, we are justified through Christ. But it is a duty that falls upon us to grow in grace of Christ. Now, in this chapter, Ryle goes through three different areas at which the Christian growth can be manifest. First of all is the reality of growth. There is such a thing as growth in grace. We're told that in Scripture, and I'll cover those in a few minutes. We grow whether we know it or not. Our sinful nature wants us to grow in the world, to conform to the ease of the wide world. But with the help and power of the Holy Spirit, we are directed to the narrow, more difficult way, as a way of growing in grace. So there is the reality of the growth in grace. The next is the marks of growth in grace. There are marks of our growth in grace which are seen not only by ourselves but by the world. The world is watching us, and if we claim to be a child of God, a believer in Christ, then how do we act in front of the world? That is something we need to think about, and we'll talk about it in a minute. Ask you the question, have you ever met someone, I know I have, met someone at a place outside of the church area and just had an immediate bond with that person, and then find out later that person is a believer in Jesus Christ? Well, that's happened to me, and I think that's, you know, some of the marks that we're talking about in a person as they are growing in grace, growing in Christ. And finally, J.C. Ryle talks to us a little bit about the means of religious growth. And there are many practical means of growing in religious, in our religious growth. We're given things that we can use. Our excuses are taken away, and we're given these means. And growth is a growth in grace is a true mark of a true saint, and growth is fully and completely connected with our sanctification. We need to be regenerated by God in order to have the desire to grow in grace. So these are some areas that we have. Next, J.C. Ryle talks about both biblical grounds for growth, and also personal grounds of the reality of the growth in grace in Jesus Christ. You know, our theme verse, you know, from the Bible is, you know, from 2 Peter, is grow in grace. And so we have that. We also have other passages, numerous passages, and I have just listed a few of those here. But we beseech you, as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and please God, so that you would abound more and more, from 1 Thessalonians. Increasing in the knowledge of God, in Colossians. And I pray that your love may abound more and more, in Philippians. So there are a number of biblical grounds that tell us about our growth in grace, and the reality of our growth in grace. There are also personal grounds for growth in grace. You know, there are personal experiences that you have, I'm sure, as you walk with the Lord. You move from a weak to a strong position. You know, a question, how does a weak person become a strong person physically? He exercises daily. Our desire should be to become strong in faith. We do that by coming to Him daily. And the growth in grace means we increase in the degree, the size, the strength, the vigor, and the power of the grace the Holy Spirit plants in us, the believer. Next, Ryle talks about five areas of importance of our growth in grace. These listed here are the five different areas of growth in grace. Growth in grace is best evidence of the spiritual health and prosperity of a person. And this is not physical prosperity of the world. It's the spiritual prosperity that we have as a result of our growth in grace. If a child does not grow, then you know something is wrong with that child. And likewise, if we're not growing spiritually, something is wrong with our souls. We need to, as Christians, we need to aim high, aim for that promise of what God has given us in our spiritual life. The second mark of reality is to be happy in our religion, to be excited about hearing the word of God. Psalm 122 tells us to be that I was excited when I heard of the going into the house of the Lord. And the person that feels the most joy and peace in believing has the clearest witness to the world is a man who is growing in his grace. Also, the third one is our usefulness. Our influence over others depends greatly on what they see in us. The world is watching. The Christian who is always at a standstill with the same little faults, weaknesses, besetting sins. It's seldom the Christian who does much good in the world, and seldom the Christian that someone comes to ask him about Christ. So a question for us, what does the world see in us? Fourthly, growth in grace pleases God. You know, that is something that we can rejoice in, and knowing that we can please the Almighty God by growing in grace, growing to become more like Him. And finally, the fifth area of our religious growth is the is that we are accountable for our growth. We're given direction from Scripture, but we also are given means to be able to grow in grace. So we are accountable for those things that for our growth. Now, next, J.C. Ryle goes into some marks of the growth in our lives, the Christian growth in grace. You know, we are very poor judges of ourselves and our own condition. Our tendency is to think that we are to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. But others see these marks of our religious growth in grace. And the first one of these marks is humility. As we draw nearer to God, we begin to see more and more the imperfections of our own selves, our own lives. You know, very similar to the vision of Isaiah when he saw the throne. You know, he saw the throne of God, and it wasn't, you know, what you would think maybe, wow, look at this. It was reflected back on him. I am a man of unclean lips. And as we grow and see and learn more and more about God and his who he is and what he's done for us, we become more and more aware of our own sin, our own imperfections and so forth, and we want to give those up to become more like him. You know, there's other examples of humility. Job is a good one. You know, Job said, I am a vile person. David says, I am a worm. And then Paul in the New Testament says, I am the chief of sinners. So as we grow, we become more humble in our walk and in our life before others. Our love of Christ grows. This is the second thing that we do is a mark of our growth. And, you know, as we grow in grace, we understand what a marvelous Savior Christ is and how we grow in our love toward Him. We begin to see Christ for who He is and what He did for us. As we understand our own sins and know what Christ did for us, you know, the fact that He knowingly and willingly went to the cross and died for us, died for me, a vile sinner. What a joy that is. And that is our, as we grow, we become to love Christ more. We increase our holiness of life. As we grow in grace, we get more control or dominion over the world, the flesh, and the devil. The one who grows becomes more careful or watchful of his words, his temper, his action. Again, the world is watching, and as we grow, we want to be more pleasing to our Savior, and we want to be more pleasing to our Savior, and we won't be more attractive to the world around us for our Savior's sake. as we grow, another mark is our increased spirituality of taste and mind. The Christian interest in spiritual things grow each year, focusing on the things that honor the Lord. Giving to the Lord becomes a joy, not a chore. The things a growing person loves the best are spiritual things, and the world becomes dimmer. If you recall the story of Lot's wife, when the city was destroyed, and God saw her look back to the city, and God saw her heart and knew that in her heart she wanted to be back, in the world, and turned her, of course, into a pillow of salt. As we grow, another mark is our increase in charity. God's love will show itself actively in a growing disposition to do kindness, to take trouble for others, to be good-natured to everyone, to be generous, sympathizing, thoughtful, tender-hearted, and considerate of others. And finally, the last one is an increased zeal and diligence in trying to do good to souls. As we grow, a mark of one who is growing is a greater interest in the salvation of sinners. Missions at home and abroad, efforts to increase religious light and diminish religious darkness will all become an important part of the life of one who is growing in grace. As your missions committee chairman, it does me good when people here in the church ask me about missions. Sometimes it's questions broadly about missions, but in particular when specific questions are asked, when about specific missionaries and specific things that are going on in the mission fields, that warms my heart. But also, I want to point out too, our evangelism. Sometimes it is discouraging when we do evangelism and we get turned down, people not interested in hearing about Christ. It may be 10, 20, 30 or more times that we get the answer to our questions about Christ that no, they're okay, and they're not okay. But that when that one person, that one individual comes along and wants to know about Christ, all those disappointments disappear. All that goes away. And we rejoice in the fact that others want to know more about Christ. Now, next, talk about the means of religious growth. J.C. Ryles gives us some of the practical means we can use to help us as we grow in grace. J.C. Ryles says, growth in grace is bound up with the use of means within the reach of all believers. And as a general rule, growing souls are what they are because they use these means. And then we go directly right into the means of grace. First of all, there are private means of grace, and those private means of grace are our time we spend in prayer, in reading the Scripture, and in private meditation and self-examination. Our life is a busy time, but we need to take the time to use the private means of grace, of growing in grace. We also have public means of grace, church attendance, hearing the word preach, uniting with people in public. And again, I bring up Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. A joy of going in and going into the public arena. Thirdly, there's watchfulness over our conduct in little matters of life. That is one thing that we need to watch, regardless of where we are, that we need to be watchful over those things that we do and the way we conduct our daily life. There is a caution as far as the means of grace with the company we keep and the friendships that we form. You know, it's the company we associate with determines a lot about how we utilize a lot of our time. Is it someone who will ask us about our souls? Is it someone who will help us to walk with the Lord and ask us about our walk with the Lord? So, finally, a regular and habitual communication with the Lord Jesus. You know, going through the day to seek Him as you have decisions to make, come upon certain temptations and so forth. Do you seek Him out? Is he the one you commune with? So these are the means of growth and grace that we have available to us, and we need to make a habit of utilizing those means as a way to grow in grace. And a reminder that it is our duty to grow. God does provide the power to us to grow, but it is our duty to grow. So after all this, J.C. Ryle makes an appeal to three different groups of people. First of all, it's the group to those who know nothing at all about the growth in grace. You know, it's J.C. Ryle gives us a grave warning, as I also give everyone here and those listening, that time is slipping away. The end is fast approaching. We are not promised tomorrow. It is promised to everyone that there is an appointment waiting, and that appointment is death, followed by the judgment. But there is hope in Jesus Christ. Today is a day of salvation. Jesus paid it all. His blood is sufficient to cover all sins if you place your trust and faith in Him. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him. So a promise from Scripture that our sins can be forgiven if we come to Christ. So I ask, this is a question I ask to everyone here today, also everyone that might be listening online or will listen to this in the future. Where are you today? Are you one that knows nothing about the growth in grace? The second group of people is the group of people that ought to know something about their growth in grace. Without growth, you will never rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice is what Philippians 4:4 tells us. Those who know nothing about grace, one who has no interest in growth is one that does not enjoy Christ. And Ryle gives us a stern warning to find out why one is not growing and to never be content if our soul does not grow. And then finally, a category of those who are really growing in grace. You know, one of the things that of growing in grace is sometimes you don't always realize that you're growing in grace because of the humility that it brings to you. The as you learn more about God and you understand our distance from God, may not realize that you're growing in grace. And for this group of people, J.C. Ryle has these two sentences: "Go forward and go forth, continue to work, continue to grow." And one of the things that kind of brings us down to square one with ourselves is the fact of, and I love the way that Ryle phrased this particular sentence, none of us are in danger of being too good. You know, we continue to work. It's a lie of the devil to think that we're not working as hard as we should or doing the things that we should to grow in grace. So remember that none of us are in danger of being too good. And finally, we have a warning that you know, we will see trials and afflictions as we go through this world. God tells us that every branch in me that beareth fruit, my Father purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. When days of darkness come upon us, let us not count it a strange thing. Rather, let us remember that lessons are learned on such days which would never have been learned in the sunshine. So remember that as trials and afflictions come our way, it is meant to help us grow and grow in grace. Now, in conclusion, I come back to the questions that we were originally asked by Ryle, and you reflect upon them. In religion, are you making progress? Do you grow in grace? You know, it's this is I know this is not news to anybody here, but we're living in a very dark time. Our nation, darkness in our nation, darkness in the world. Right is declared wrong. God's words of love are considered hate speech by the world. We as Christians are called hate groups or worse because we speak of God. Remember in Psalm 2 that God looks down, looks down and laughs at the work of the world. So I tell you that now is a very wonderful time to be reminded and to be renewed in growth in grace. What a wonderful time to build our house upon the rock of Christ's word while all other ground is sinking sand. We were reminded last week by Pastor Phillips from Jeremiah 1:12, I am watching over my word to perform it. We should shout for joy, knowing that God, who created all the worlds, has promised that he will make sure that his promises will not change and they will come about. What a sure foundation for us to grow on. Well, as I close, I hope this lesson has been encouragement to you this morning, and I leave you with a verse to remember from Psalm 50:23. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. So a reminder to us that, you know, as we work, and it is work to grow in grace, that God's salvation will be true to us. So let's close in prayer. Our Father and our God, again, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to speak and talk and reflect on your word. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for this time that you've given us together. Father, we are thankful that this is Sabbath day. We do pray that we will spend the day reflecting upon you. And we, Father, we do pray that we'll take these words of growth in grace as a duty of ours, but we do lean upon you to give us the power we need to grow in grace. So I thank you for this, and I lift these things up to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.